This is the closing part of a blessing that Moses gives to all the tribes of Israel as he prepares for his own death. About Dan, he said, "Dan is a lion's cub springing out of Bashan." About Naphtali, he said, "Naphtali is abounding with the favor of the Lord and is full of his blessing. He will inherit southward to the lake." About Asher, he said, "Most blessed of sons is Asher. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him bathe his feet in oil. The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, 'Destroy him.' So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper, and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places." Let us pray. Eternal God, thank you for gathering us here in this place of blessing. Help us to continue to bless your name. Help us to bless your name now by our attentiveness as you speak to us through the preached word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. During the coronavirus pandemic, we've had to rethink a lot of things, haven't we? And one of those things is parting words. Maybe you're communicating by someone on the phone or via text or on a Zoom meeting or some other means. There comes a point where you have to bring your interaction to a conclusion and say goodbye in some form or another. And lots of times you'd use ordinary expressions like goodbye or farewell or stay in touch or maybe talk to you later. But under these circumstances, you may be tailoring your words now to something that's more fitting for these kinds of circumstances. Maybe you wrap things up by saying, "Stay safe, be well, take care." So even the ways that we conclude our interactions and say goodbye to one another, that too we've adjusted. There was one journalist who's pointed out that even the way we sign off on emails has changed some during all this. She said, quote, "It was clear that some expressions would have to be benched. Cheers might be obnoxiously jaunty in the best of times. It certainly is during a pandemic. How about warmest regards? Does that fail to sizzle?" She says, during a pandemic, it might. And then she went on to point out that some people have taken to closing out their emails by combining words of well-wishing with reminders about what everyone is supposed to do. They conclude their emails by saying, "Stay safe and stay home," or "Stay safe and wash those hands." So even in our emails, we've adjusted the way that we wrap things up. How we say goodbye makes a difference, doesn't it? You need the right words for the right set of circumstances in the right place. And that's true not only for an email, but it's true for even greater and grander occasions. Think about the words Abraham Lincoln used in a farewell address to the people of Springfield, Illinois. On February 11, 1861, he said, "I now leave, not knowing when or whether ever I may return, with a task before me greater than that which rested upon Washington, Without the assistance of that divine being who ever attended him, I cannot succeed. With that assistance, I cannot fail. Trusting in him who can go with me and remain with you and be everywhere for good, let us confidently hope that all will yet be well. To his care commending you, as I hope in your prayers you will commend me, I bid you an affectionate farewell. Saying farewell requires the right words for the right occasion. That's what Moses is doing in our text today from Deuteronomy. Before his death, he gives words of blessing to the people of Israel. He basically bids farewell to the nation that he's led and nurtured and guided for a whole generation. Remember that Moses has experienced the full range of Israel's response to God's grace and work. He's experienced their obedience and their rebellion. He's experienced their faithfulness and their disloyalty. He's experienced their attentiveness and their hard-heartedness. When it comes to how God's people have lived in covenant community with God, Moses, by this point, has basically seen and heard it all. And now it's time for him to come to grips with and acknowledge his own mortality and hand things over to Joshua for leadership. And before he does, Moses releases Israel to its future and offers his blessing. This blessing here in Deuteronomy 33, it's framed by songs of praise. It starts out with a vision of God coming in triumph to Israel from Mount Sinai in the southern hill country. Surely it is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction, the law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. And then, after remembering how God disclosed himself to Israel on Mount Sinai and offering more praise, Moses begins a series of blessing formulas. And to each tribe in Israel, he gives a divine message about its individual destiny. He talks about the unique characteristics of each tribe, not to tell them that these are your own achievements, but to remind them that these are gifts and blessings of God that will enable them to live securely and fruitfully in the land of promise that they're about to enter. So for the Israelites, being blessed by their leader, it's less about looking back and more about going forward. Moses' blessing pulls them forward into the future that God has promised them. And that's what the act of blessing should do. A blessing should commit us to God and point us forward and send us toward the future that God desires and wants for us and reassure us that we go into the future with the promise of God's presence and with the promise of God's power. That's one of the reasons that we conclude every Sunday's worship service with a benediction, a word of blessing. Now, sometimes it's a prayer that I say. Other times it's a more direct blessing upon you as you get ready to go from the Lord's house and leave our gathering and journey into the week ahead. In our case, by the way that we normally do it, you're already standing by the time that I pronounce the benediction. In other churches, it might be different. Folks might be seated, and there near the conclusion of the service, the minister will say, "Let us stand for the benediction." And that's an even sharper transition, indicating that you're now on your feet again, ready to take your first steps out of the Lord's house and into the territory where you live your daily life. Your first stop might be the church parking lot, where you end up in conversation with somebody. In fact, for many of you, maybe also the benediction brings a sense of relief that soon you can get that mask off and draw a deeper breath. Those words, "Let us stand for the benediction," often these days bring a sense of release that you can remove the mask and start drawing deeper breaths when you get back outside. And during the benediction, sometimes from behind my mask come words of blessing as you get ready to go on your way. One of the things that we miss during different worship conditions like this is having access to our hymnals like we're used to. In addition to all the songs of faith that are contained within its pages, there's a full page near the back of the hymnal of spoken benedictions. You might recognize some of them. Number 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Or maybe Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Or maybe 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. All of you, not just some of you, not just the ones sitting in the sanctuary, not just the ones maybe sitting in the fellowship hall, not just the ones who are listening online, all of you, in addition to being a blessing upon each individual worshiper, the benediction is a blessing upon God's people as a whole to sort of one last time before you go, gather us up as one and send you on your way with the Lord's blessing. That's one of the things that's important about Moses' blessing in our scripture here today. It takes into account and promises God's blessing upon all the tribes of Israel. It's not just directed toward each individual Israelite, though that's true and important. It's not just directed toward the future of each individual tribe, though that's true and important too. But it's directed mainly toward the future of the whole covenant community as it enters further into the future and into the land of promise that God is going to provide. One of the things that we've been navigating more during the coronavirus pandemic is how to be a unified congregation while we're still in some ways a scattered congregation. Even after reopening about a month ago and being reunited with one another through in-person worship like we're doing here today, we still miss those who aren't able to join us here on Sunday in this facility for various legitimate and important reasons. They aren't yet able to be here with us in this space on the Lord's Day. But we need to remember that that doesn't mean they're beyond the reach of God's blessing and God's word and God's work through the recordings of each week's sermon, through your prayers, through whatever other ways you're engaging with them and staying in touch, contacting, interacting with them. The blessing of God reaches beyond just the walls of this sanctuary and into the lives of all the people called Grace Baptist Church together. And that's a word of reassurance for us in a time like this when we are a unified congregation, but also still scattered in different kinds of ways. A word of promise from the Lord. Remember that the act of blessing should be a word that both gathers God's people together and scatters God's people into the world. Before we leave the Lord's house, the benediction, like I said, should bring us together one last time in a sense of unity and then scatter us, send us into the world where we participate in God's mission of reconciliation and restoration in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. That's part of what that parting blessing does. And as you do that, as you go from this place, you need strength. And strength is precisely one of the things promised in our scripture passage here today. Notice that during his last blessing, the blessing upon the tribe of Asher, Moses concludes by saying, "Your strength will equal your days." Your strength will equal your days. Or as another version renders it, and as your days, so shall be your strength. So God's promise here is that we'll be given strength to face and to overcome whatever challenges or troubles are there each day. I like the way another Bible teacher has put it when he points to this verse and notices the verse doesn't say, as thy weeks, so shall be thy strength. It doesn't say, as thy years, so shall be thy strength. What it says is, as thy days, day by day by day, one at a time, as they're given to you, so the strength you need for that day is given to you. Day by day, daily strength needed for then and there. You may be familiar with the expression that in life there are really only two things that are certain. I hear some giggles. That tells me that some folks recognize it. Death and what? What's the second one? Taxes. Okay. And this year, the disruption created by the coronavirus even made taxes at least a little less certain. Now, that's quite an accomplishment if something like that happens. The filing deadline was extended from April 15th to July 15th. And then there was even some talk about maybe pushing it on a little bit later, delay it some more, but that didn't happen. And as we learned this past Wednesday, taxes are still just as certain as ever, even during these kinds of circumstances. But it reminds us at the same time about how the pandemic has increased our uncertainty in all sorts of other areas of life. Uncertainty about finances, uncertainty about jobs, uncertainty about health, uncertainty about schools, what that's going to be like, uncertainty even about church. Day by day, we're learning more and more about how to live, aren't we, with the unknown, the uncontrollable, the unpredictable. And yet, as we come into the presence of God here again today, we're here together face to face, or maybe to those folks who will eventually at some point be listening online. We assemble to remember again God's word of blessing and his promise that because of his grace, through your faith in Jesus Christ, your destiny in Christ, your place in his kingdom, that promise remains solid, unchanging, assurance. The journey to there, where we're told, as Jesus prayed, God's kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The journey of faith from here to there confronts us with all sorts of uncertainties and things beyond prediction or control. It passes through many trials, struggles, and sufferings. When I pronounce today's benediction upon you, I don't try to send you forth with promises from myself that I know exactly what all is going to unfold in your life today or tomorrow or the other days of this week or exactly about what kind of circumstances you're going to face, or situations you may encounter, or what may happen. I don't send you forth with promises for myself that I know any of those kinds of things, because I don't. But I send you forth with the promise that we need most, the promise of God that we hear in our scripture passage today, that as your days, so shall be your strength. And whatever unfolds and happens, day by day comes the strength for that day and whatever unfolds. So today I would encourage you to take that strength that's given to you moment by moment, day by day, and use it to serve the Lord wherever you are, whatever the circumstances. Richard Halvorson was once the chaplain of the United States Senate, and he had a benediction that he used on various kinds of occasions and during different kinds of messages. I want to close my message to you here today by pronouncing it upon you. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, his power. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Eternal God, thank you for your promise of your presence and your power in our lives and in the world through Jesus Christ. Enable us to receive the strength that you give each day, moment by moment, to face whatever we face, to serve however we're called to serve, and to do our part in your mission, whatever shape it takes. Help us to go forth from your house now with songs of praise and with gladness that comes from the assurance of your presence and your power and your promises. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.